Question of Balance with Ruth Coplin. Featuring stimulating in-depth interviews with special guests from all areas of the arts. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative, featuring thought-provoking conversations. For the topic hour, I go out and about and talk to people on the street about a wide variety of different subjects that affect us all, both locally and globally. And for this, the Arts Hour, I interview local, national and international guests from all areas of the arts. And the show combines a debate topic with an arts interview because I feel discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways that we engage with the world. If you'd like to find out more information about the show, you can go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, and you can hear podcasts of all my past shows there and connect with me on social media, should you wish, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. So again, the show website is itsaquestionofbalance.com. And on the homepage, there are tabs at the top for guests and topics, which makes it easy to browse and choose the podcast you want. So I encourage you to go and check that out. This week, as my special guests from the arts, I'm pleased to be interviewing Deborah Allen, Brittany Buffo, Tom North, and Gina Renee from the inspiring theatrical show Fire in the Heart. Created and produced by director, producer, actress, writer, and screenwriter Deborah Allen, Fire in the Heart is a celebration of how the performing arts can be used to address trauma and recovery. Fire in the Heart features multiple artists showing how the arts can help us process, heal, and transcend traumatic events, whether they be in our own lives or the lives of others, while entertaining and enriching us at the same time. Fire in the Heart features professional performers from many music genres, including hip-hop, gospel, classical, and opera, as well as filmmakers, actors, and poets, all of whom have used the arts in their own lives to address trauma and recovery from issues including substance abuse, violence, and major health issues. Artists include hip-hop artist The Luminaries, Carnegie Hall cellist Lisa Lancaster, recording artist Dolores Burgess, and musical director and performing artist Stefan Terry. Fire in the Heart is designed as a way for the community to come together around what we are collectively going through and experience the arts as a powerful, transformative lifeline with the potential to be life-changing for some. Cabrillo College in California is presenting Fire in the Heart as Cabrillo Theatre Arts 2016 Evening of World Theatre. And I'm fortunate to have four of the performers with me on the show. Creator and producer of Fire in the Heart, Deborah Allen, filmmaker Brittany Buffo, memoirist Tom North, and hip-hop artist, singer-songwriter and storyteller Gina Renee. So welcome to the show, all of you. And as I mentioned in the introduction, Deborah is the creator and producer of Fire in the Heart, and I'm going to be talking to her first. And she is also the producer and screenwriter of Jane the Movie, which is a feature film in development about how music and poetry anchor a 15-year-old girl in the face of sexual violence, family upheaval, and change that she can't control. And as a rape survivor, artist, and counsellor, Deborah teaches workshops that nurture the development of a creative inner life and has been teaching midlife professionals in the healing arts for the last 25 years in the USA, Europe, and Japan. In her first career as an actor and director, Deborah worked in the San Francisco Bay Area and as an Arts America director at the National Theatre of Uganda, where her production of August Wilson's Fences with the actors of the National Theatre won Best Production. She was also the executive director of Theatre Bay Area in San Francisco for 5 years. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you, Ruth.
So you've created this amazing show, Fire in the Heart. Can you tell us first, how you came to conceive the show?
Do you know, I think it started from Jane, from the movie, understanding and working with other people, including Brittany, who's here tonight. Of the more girls that we talked to, the more we realized that the whole issue of how did we heal hadn't been very well addressed in film. And then we realized it hadn't been very well addressed on stage either. Mm. And so when we began to expand what had helped us, we found that a lot of us were artists or had used the arts as a lifeline to make sure that we really didn't go into a permanent depression, become, you know, not viable. And it was really an exciting time to find out how many men and women have used the arts to heal trauma and then begin to try to create something besides the movie that included men, that included more issues than just my issue, which was sexual violence.
Right, yeah. Psychologist Alice Miller writes at length about how art can help minimize the effects of trauma. How do you feel art does help people process difficult events?
You know, Ed, in my training, we talk about the fact that the traumatic memory in the body is held in a particular way that needs to move. And it goes from forces, which is like the unbearable feelings. And if you can move that to feelings that you can understand, despair, fear, anger, regular feelings. Mm. And then the regular feelings have to move all the way into words. And that those, they call that forces to feelings to words. Mm. And if you can find that pattern, very often you can begin to metabolize the unbearable feelings, which is really after trauma. The feelings go into hiding. Mm. And so we have to have pathways for them to move. And the arts is an extraordinary way because honestly, nobody can tell you how to do it right.
Mm. Yes, yeah. And I imagine that's very important when you're bringing something forth that's so deeply affecting to you.
Well, I'm 63 and I was raped at 15. And I started working on Jane when I was 58. So that took me a really, really long time.
Mm, yes. And of course, you're talking about bringing this out through words, but also with the arts, you know, painting and visual art and dance, there's a chance also to perhaps express something in a way if you can't put it into words as well.
Absolutely. And then there's music, which is
right,
a big
course.
Part of the show.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. So I understand that each iteration of the show features both national artists and professional artists who are local to the area of the production. So what do you feel Fire in the Heart has to offer the community?
Do you know, I think my need is really being met because I think part of the reason I wanted it to come to my hometown is that I have this extraordinarily strong belief that personal trauma needs to be worked on, but so does collective trauma. Mm. And that every time we turn on the radio, our neurons are firing. You know, it's in some ways way too much information for the trauma body to handle. Mm. And so in our community, we've been through a lot of trauma. We're one of the first people who signed on as sponsors was the Deputy Sheriff's Association. They said, we need this. You know, we're all trying to handle kind of unbearable news. Mm. And so I'm delighted to have it in my own hometown where I really do understand the events that have happened that have created collective trauma.
Mm. And I think as well as a means of expression of perhaps suppressed feeling, it's also a way to come to perhaps some sense of understanding of the meaning of why these things happen and what we can do to prevent them happening.
I hope so. I honestly, being in this field for so long, the whole question of meaning is really complex, like way more than we can do tonight, but it's certainly we can bring comfort and we can bring hope for the future.
Mm.
And we can bring a body that's not in so much stress.
Mm. Now, as I understand it, the way the show works, although there is a context of the artist having used their art in this way, is still a really enjoyable, wonderful show, correct?
Oh my God, I love the show. I love the artist, and everybody has the same intention. All of us are people who've taken dramatic and painful things, and a lot of it comes out in extraordinary energy, high energy and joy, and a lot of it goes very, very deep all the way to resolution. So we're not allowing anything on stage that doesn't bring the audience somewhere where they can work with it. We're not dropping the babies here.
Right, and it's still predominantly an entertainment, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
although
beautiful.
It's got this context,
yeah,
I mean, people
beautiful.
Are interested in the show. I think it's important to understand that it's not like a therapy session.
It's beautiful.
We have
people who's like Dolores, who's also the co-director of Fire in the Heart. When she sings gospel, the hair on my arm stands straight up. I mean, it's like that. All the performers are in their mastery, midlife professionals. So everybody's meeting their marks.
Yes, yeah. And I'm just wondering, when you've got such a diversity of arts that you're putting together in one show, how is that sort of all melding together?
I give Dolores a whole lot of credit for that. She's a theater artist also. And together we took the script and we tried to find the ways to bring all of us together story-wise, so the stories flow into each other. It's not a variety show. It's stories that meet at certain angles, and then they turn to a new angle, either with music or with dance or with poetry or spoken word. So at each turn of the show, you're going somewhere new, but it comes out of what you just saw.
Oh, that's interesting. And it's been performed in various places. It's being performed at Cabrillo College in California. The idea is for it to continue going across the country. Is that correct?
Yes, we would love it, because in each town we can take some of our professionals who want to go on tour, and then every community has fabulous professional artists, so we can always have a cast.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. Well, if you are in California, you will have the opportunity to see Fire in the Heart at Cabrillo College, and I would encourage you to do that. That's coming up on the 5th of March. If you just joined us, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and this week I've had four special guests from the arts. I was just talking to Deborah Allen. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com. It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, this is Jackie from Integrity Event Planning. Are you coordinating an event? Don't know how you'll get it all done? Stop sweating the small stuff. We plan everything from family events to fundraising and corporate events. Contact Integrity Event Planning for your next event. Check out our website, integrityeventplanning.com. Integrity, it's what sets us apart. With 16 years of experience, we negotiate with your bottom line and needs in mind. So sit back and relax and let us serve the champagne. We've got this.
For your next event, visit integrityeventplanning.com. That's integrityeventplanning.com.
Dream, baby, dream.
KSCO is a proud sponsor of Fire in the Heart, Cabrillo Theater Arts Evening of World Theater, March 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Crocker Theater. Award-winning national and local artists explore how the arts become a catalyst for resilience in times of trouble using gospel, hip-hop, classical music, spoken word, film, and dance. Tickets at www.cabrillovapa.com. That's www.cabrillovapa.com or call 479-6154.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and a guest hour featuring thought-provoking conversations with people on the street. And in the guest hour, we have inspiring guests from all areas of the arts. And recently featured on the show was Kathleen Powell, president and co-founder of Cinequest Film Festival. And I wanted to let you know that the Cinequest Film Festival 2016 was just named Best Film Festival by USA Today readers. Occurs March 1st through 13th in San Jose, presenting Maverick Spirit winners James Franco and Rita Moreno. And 124 world and US premiere films, breakthrough innovations, and fabulous celebrations. So festival passes and packages are available now at www.cinequest.org. So I encourage you to go, and you can also check out the podcast of the interview I did with Kathleen at the show website. It's a question of balance.com. That will give you a lot of information about the film festival as well. A wonderful film festival. Well, this week for the Arts Hour, I'm pleased to be interviewing four artists from the inspiring theatrical show Fire in the Heart. Before the break, I was speaking to Deborah Allen. And my next guest from Fire in the Heart is hip-hop artist, singer-songwriter, storyteller, mentor, community activist, and mom, Gina Renee. And she uses her art to inspire and connect people of all ages with the power of using our words and expression to reclaim and reframe our voices and lives for the better, with a special focus on representing the needs of young women and men today, lost in a sea of media representations. And in addition, Gina is training to offer vocal coaching via Forte Vocal Academy. Welcome to the show, Gina.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. And obviously, art is your whole life, Gina. I'm wondering if you can share with us how you first came to art in your own life.
That's a really awesome question. I was actually going through, I've always had a love for music and dance and such, and my mom put myself and my older brother in dance when we were really young. And that was sort of a little mini initiation, you know. But the real shift happened for me when I was around, I was a senior in high school or junior, kind of forget now. And I was going through a really hard time emotionally. And I was having sort of a, I can't think of the words right now, but it was like
a breakdown or?
What is it called when you, identity crisis.
Oh, so, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, and it was some deep stuff. And I remember my older brother, Gabriel, he could tell I was going through something. And he was a musician himself. And actually, he had been a writer, writing songs and raps for years. And I actually had never really written a lyric yet. And I think I was 17, maybe, then. And I remember he came to me, to my room, and was like, I want to make a song for you. You can write your own song, and I want to help you. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm going to give you the music, or you do this. And it was so cool because I made my first song and it was really healing. And I don't know if I can find it today. I, I want to. But I remember it was so powerful. And I remember a year later, like my senior year, sharing it as like kind of my final for my music class. And it was so organic and it was so personal. And that was the first time I'd ever written anything on my own about my life. And I mean, it kind of like makes sense because over time I ended up becoming a writer, but I never really thought I could. And it wasn't about what I thought I could do. It was what was inside of me, what was possible and what had to happen, you know? And I had a blessing of my own brother, like seeing that and being like, hey, I want to support you, you know? So that was in high school.
Wow, that's very powerful. Before the break, we were I was talking to Deborah Allen, and she was talking about how finding words through your art for experiences that perhaps you couldn't perhaps give any conscious thought to previously is one of the healing effects of art. Is that something you experienced through doing that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I know, like, you know, different people have different gifts with different forms of art, right? Some of us are words, some of us are dance or you know, painting and other things like that. But yeah, and it's funny when you allow yourself, if you feel the call and you feel that inspiration to express through art, that it really is possible, really, for everyone to use art and to be artistic. Because it's actually almost can be like a form of therapy. And I think that that's what Fire in the Heart definitely highlights in a very beautiful, diverse way with all the different artists and styles and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask you, what are you exploring in Fire in the Heart with your art? What are you doing in the show? How are you approaching your part?
So it's really cool. I get to be in collaboration with a few others for this special performance, as well as I have actually, I'm collaborating in all three pieces that I'm a part of. You know, one of my songs is called Set Me Free, and it's really about accessing your personal power and realizing that you're not alone. And, you know, through all kinds of challenges, whether it was like financial issues or homeless or whatever, it's possible to overcome. And it's kind of the story of this person realizing things about her life that aren't so cool, but then realizing the blessings along the way and using that power to then create like a affirmation in the song. So by the end of the song, it's like, I can do it. This is my gift, you know, and I was given this gift to share and to shine. And it's not about sharing our gifts. Is not about bragging or putting other people down. It's that we can all shine. So I feel like that song kind of gives that vibe off. And then I get to be a part of two other pieces. And that particular one, I'm with Stefan, an amazing pianist and artist. And then the other two is one was with the Luminaries. They're an awesome, really uplifting hip-hop collective. And we're telling this interesting story around looking at both how men and women interact and how the idea of... I know Deborah could talk about it way better than me, I feel, but just the possibility of how a man could look at a woman objectively as an object, you know, and how the man might even be realizing that he's doing that and kind of going, oh, how have I been treating women? And there's sort of a conversation in the song, and there's three different MCs, artists, males that are part of it with me. And I'm kind of singing the hook and adding my own ideas around media and media literacy and how we're affected as women and people by the things that are popularized out there, you know, in the media. And so that's a very interesting piece. It kind of connects with a few other pieces in the show, so it's kind of interactive, and some of it might even be improv, but even though it's planned, there's some surprises.
Planned surprises.
And then there's one other piece, super cool, is with my own brother Chris Renee, and it's a beautiful song he wrote. And It's celebrating the lives and people that are still here, that are in our lives, even though we may have been through tragedy or whatever we've been through, that we get to celebrate that, you know, we're still here. And it's definitely really powerful, kind of emotional yet uplifting. So, yeah. That's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I was talking about with Deborah is that I think what's interesting about the arts is that for the audience, or whether it be of, you know, painting or art, dance or music or whatever, you can have an unconscious sort of processing of emotional interaction with the art. And I think that's what's appealing about it, because you don't have to be consciously aware. It's not like you have to even be mm-hmm. invested in it. You can purely absorb something on an entertainment level, and yet it can have a mm-hmm. really, really deep effect on you as well.
I think that's a super cool insight, because, you know, a lot of pop music today, like, I don't necessarily... A lot of the popular stuff, you know, on like the major stations, I recognize that, wow, you know, they're putting these messages out there and people are feeling them and hearing them. But when there's something good, whether it's the musically good or, you know, the content is good, or there's something real about it, it does reach people whether they realize it or not. And I love that you guys are pointing that out, because it doesn't have to be that people go into a deep process around it or some kind of literal therapeutic thing. You could just find something that makes you feel good or makes you feel like you can let go. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for all of us to experience artists who are doing it at a world-class professional level is an amazing thing. But there's also this availability of art that you've referred to for all of us at any level to benefit from it and get great joy from as well. It's not like we all have to reach that level for it to be a really joyful thing for us to experience.
Right.
Yeah. And I was interested what you were saying about objectification, particularly of women, and you're going to do that song with the Luminaries. But I had a friend who's a rapper who's is very attractive, and his experience growing up, he came from a very poor area, was that he felt very objectified, actually, because he was very attractive. Women were very attracted to him, but when they found out that he was really poor, then they were only interested in him for sex, not for any kind of long-term relationship. And so yeah. I think it's much more common, obviously, for women to be objectified, but I think increasingly the way the media is going, as you've referred to, it's a problem for everybody that's very demeaning to our human spirit, I think.
I'm so in agreement with you, and I feel like a lot of the time, I mean, I've only done my own research, but I feel like men or boys, you know, sometimes get left out of the conversation in terms of, in a way, being victimized too by the media that's accepted, that's just out there, like the mass media, right? And they're, yeah, it's like there's a need for authenticity and different types of real men and real women and real girls and boys to be portrayed or talked about in stories. And I think that's really what Fire in the Heart is about, is everyone coming to the table is bringing their own unique story of things that they've been through, that they've overcome or are overcoming, and it's about real people. And I think that, like, the world is craving that, and I think that's partly why we see so many reality shows, even though a lot of them are scripted and they're not quite maybe the kind we're looking for in terms of what's most popular or sort of shoved in our faces or whatever you want to call it, right? But I feel that. I feel what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So for you, what would you say Fire in the Heart is for you?
I feel that Fire in the Heart is, I the first word that's coming to me is community. Mm. And even though this will be the second show performance I've been a part of, there's a few different people kind of coming through this version of the show, and it's a community of people who share the same recognition of the power of art as a healer. And at the same time, it's a reminder, I think, I know for me and maybe for the others in the group, of how powerful this tool is, not only for ourselves, but for others. And so it's almost like a practice, like a living practice, to be part of something like this.
Yes, yeah.
It's different than just having a gig.
Right.
You know, it's actually something we're all invested in, and we know that we're putting something really sacred out there.
Mm.
And, I don't know, community.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah. That's really powerful. Well, thank you so much, Gina, for joining us. I really appreciate it. And
thank you.
I look forward to seeing your performance in Fire in the Heart.
Awesome. I look forward to hopefully meeting you in person.
All right. Well, thank you. And next, I'm going to be talking to actor, playwright, and filmmaker Brittany Buffo, and with her husband, Michael Buffo, she co-directs indie films while mentoring young adults with the Hara Motion Picture Conservatory and produces commercial videos with their production company, House of Eight Media. And she's been working on the film Jane alongside Deborah since 2013, in addition to all her other work. So welcome to the show, Brittany.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So I'm wondering if you can share with us how you first came to art in your life.
I have a similar story as Gina. I was very young and I started dancing. Anna Banana was my teacher's name. And she was just so lovely and I loved dancing. But there was a point when I was an elementary school and I went to see the musical Peter Pan. And at the end of the show, the actress, I didn't know was an actress, I thought it was a man playing Peter Pan, she took off her wig. Uh-huh. And I thought, oh my God, it's a woman. Uh-huh. And I was so inspired by that. I loved the performance. I was totally believing it was Peter Pan. And,
yeah. That willing suspension of disbelief that mm-hmm. the theater relies on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And what are you exploring in Fire in the Heart through your art?
I'm embodying courage right now.
Okay.
I'm 33 years old and I'm dancing again. I met my husband dancing 5 years ago, but as a young person, like I said, I grew up dancing until I was about 11 years old, and I had a traumatic experience that I feel with this show and doing this, I'm really braving new waters in my own personal life.
Right. Well, if you just joined us, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guest this week from the arts. I've got four guests from the theatrical show Fire in the Heart. I'm talking to Deborah Allen, Brittany Buffo, Tom North, and Gina Renee. So we're going to go to a break now, but we'll be back soon after these messages.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made desserts in a friendly, family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Danielle, and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Can you imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Arts Hour of It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guests this week are four artists who are performing in the theatrical show Fire in the Heart. I've already spoken to Deborah Allen and Gina Renee, and before the break I just started speaking to Brittany Buffo. And Brittany, I was asking you what you're exploring in the show through your art, and I was wondering, you were saying you're doing dance, and I wondered if you could just expand a bit on exactly, you know, what story you're telling.
Sure. So as a young person, I grew up in a home of addicts. Alcoholism runs in my family. And as a young person, I found that I couldn't talk about what was going on and how I was feeling. And so dance was a way for me to express myself. And I felt so joyful and so alive when I dance. So I'm going to be telling the story about why I stopped dancing and how I, through the years, have found new ways in through my theater training in at Cal Poly Pomona University, and then now have found filmmaking as a new way of expressing myself. So I will be telling that story, and I will be taking the stage with these wonderful dancers who are the same age as I was when this traumatic event happened, where I found my mom, unfortunately, intoxicated and at a dance competition. And I thought, oh my God, it's my fault. I can't dance anymore. I can't do this. Mm. So I stopped dancing. And as a young 9-year-old girl who didn't really understand, I shut down.
Mm.
So yes, it's taken me through a lot of years of finding new things. And now here I am, 33, dancing again, a dance routine. So I think it's going to be pretty fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That sounds great. What style of dance?
It's lyrical, contemporary.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that sounds fascinating. So I've asked, you know, the others, I'm wondering how you feel art helps people process difficult events.
I think it's... how I know to heal is by being seen and heard, and also being seen and heard, not only just one-on-one, but in a group or even on stage with an audience, and just being seen and heard, I think, is so important. So that's, I think, why Al-Anon and AA has been so successful in that area of addiction and recovery, because you need that live person, that person who can empathize with you.
Yeah. I think that is a very powerful thing, to be seen for who you are. And I think when you've gone through traumatic events, often you feel for varying reasons, either that you're responsible for things that have happened or that you need to protect those people. Mm-hmm. And all of that, I think, means that the authentic self that you have when you're born can sometimes just get very shadowed and pushed out. And
absolutely.
I think, yeah, the way you describe that, being seen and heard, and there's a one level, just taking it at the most shallow level of like being in a performance, but then there's that very, very deep level of this is who I truly am as a human being. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like what you're saying is you come full circle with that, with your dance, going yeah. back to what you had with it back then.
Mm-hmm. And it's live. yeah.
Yes, that gives that extra kind of adrenaline, doesn't it?
No pressure.
Frisson and all of that. Yeah, because as we were talking about earlier, I mean, this is interesting, very interesting in terms of what art can help us to do, but it also is predominantly and ultimately an artistic entertainment. And mm-hmm. so that's important, isn't it? You know, mm-hmm. as artists to produce something that is entertaining for mm-hmm. people, which I'm yeah. sure you will.
Well, I mean, if you're feeling joy, I think as a performer and in my years of performing, if I'm feeling joyful and I am loving what I'm doing, you can't help but want to watch or want to be a part of that because it's fun, it's joyful, you know, your heart is open.
Yeah, absolutely. And just finally, I wanted to ask you about your mentoring, because you mm-hmm. do some mentoring through film, is that right?
I do. I found that I really love group screenplay writing process. And I became a teaching artist in Los Angeles through the Unusual Suspects Theater Company, which mentors young people in probation camps or foster care facilities. And I found that giving of my time and energy to these young people was just, I felt so fulfilled. And so I just loved mentoring these young people. So when I met my husband, and he loves film and so do I, we decided, oh, let's make a film conservatory for young teenagers. And so we brought it here to Monterey. My husband lives here as his hometown. And so we're building that, and we love working with young people. I think they are just so inspiring, and they're so full of passion and life, and they're discovering new things about themselves, and they want to be, you know, seen and heard, and they want to share their voice and their passions and their interests. And so I really love doing that with young people.
Oh, wonderful. That's wonderful work. Well, thanks for, you know, sharing what you're doing in Fire in the Heart with us. And I look forward to seeing your performance as well. And my last guest from Fire in the Heart is memoirist Tom North, author of True North, The Shocking Truth About Yours, Mine and Ours. Tom is one of the 8 North children who, together with the 10 Beardsley children, became the family that was featured in the 1968 film Yours, Mine and Ours, starring Lucille Ball and Henry Fonda, and again in the 2005 version starring Renee Russo and Dennis Quaid. And Tom details in the book how the family was not the big happy one depicted in the films, and covers his journey of survival, self-discovery and healing. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you, Ruth.
So I'm wondering, can you share with us your first experience of art of any kind? Do you remember that?
Well, I've been a writer since a very early age, but generally for personal enjoyment. But as I grew and moved on through adulthood, I thought that this story that you just described so eloquently was a story that needed to be told. And having never written a book, I thought, I can do this. And so in 2008, I sat down to tell the story that I wished someone else had told. Mm-hmm. And I realized that if it was going to be told, I would have to be the one to do it. Mm. And it's been a remarkable and very rewarding journey.
And now your case through your art, I mean, often this is the case with various forms of abuse and traumatic things that happen, is that they're secret and they're kept secret. And to a large degree, the very secrecy itself is kind of a cancer that can eat away at people. So I'm imagining for you, just ending the secrecy must have been a big thing.
It was huge. The idea of the secrecy is so important because there's a taboo in our culture about talking about very important things that we don't understand, such as trauma, such as domestic violence. And so we tend to internalize that. And people who have been through traumatic experiences, which is unfortunately about 80% of the population, they tend to isolate and they tend to feel guilt and shame and feel that it's their fault for what they've experienced when that's really not the case.
So can you share with us what part of your story that you're exploring in Fire in the Heart?
Yes, I'm doing a monologue in Fire in the Heart, and it's really the story of an adolescent struggle or a teenage struggle with a set of life circumstances that are just totally out of control. And actually a lot of teenagers find that their lives are totally out of control. It's a very difficult phase of life. And so I'm sharing that with the intention of allowing the audience to find their own identity in that time frame of their own lives and to reflect upon that and to realize that they're not alone and that we all have those challenges in our lives and we need to process and integrate that if we're going to change and grow as human beings.
And with your story, yours, mine, and ours, there was created a sort of public truth about your family's life, which I understand is not reflective of the real truth, should we say. Can you tell us a bit about that, sort of duality?
Yeah, that was a bit of a challenge for myself and my 19 siblings because the public came to believe that what they saw on the silver screen was the reality that we were living, that it was a big, happy family. And I had kids come up to me as a child on the baseball field and say, oh, it must be wonderful to live in that big, wonderful family and have all that love and attention. And they thought that Lucille Ball was my mother and that Henry Fonda was my father.
Right.
And I would just shrug my shoulders. I wanted to scream. And I would shrug my shoulders and just walk away. I didn't know what to say. And so that's the contrast between the public presentation of what our family was supposed to be living and the reality of what we were living, which was a nightmare, was crazy making.
Yes.
And so we all we dealt with that in our own ways. But I felt that that was a story that a lot of people actually could relate to, and it turns out that that is the case.
So, I mean, it wasn't just that it wasn't this idyllic family and was actually an ordinary family, but it actually was quite dark.
It was extremely dark. In fact, when I have done public speaking engagements and I've done radio and television shows all over the world discussing this issue, and a lot of people cringe when we get to some of the more difficult passages of the book. So what I've chosen for Fire in the Heart is a particular chapter which is called the 25-cent solution. And in that chapter, it refers to 25 cents is the price of a bullet.
Oh, wow. So hopefully ways to avoid that.
yes. And that's the point.
Yes.
That's the point, is that we all have decisions to make. And we have a choice, and we can choose to grow, and we can choose to integrate our traumatic experiences and learn from them and move on.
Yeah. And I think also what's occurring to me with your particular story, where there's this sort of face to the world and then there's the actual reality of who you were, and like you say, people were not seeing you, is that that for a lot of people, even if you haven't been through trauma or anything as awful as you did, there's still a sense of having kind of like a public face and a private face. And I think that the further those two are apart, the less integrated we are, as you were mentioning. And it's healthier for all of us to have one face if we can, and that be our authentic face.
Well, and there's a kind of a metaphor in that, you know, the family environment that I grew up in was a collective fraud. And yet every one of us as individuals has a public persona that we project out into the world.
Yeah.
And very often there are internal conflicts and traumas that we haven't dealt with that we hide. Mm. And the idea of a true north, the shocking truth about yours, mine, and ours, is to give people an understanding that they needn't hide their own personal difficulties, that we have far more in common than that which separates us. And if we can recognize that and have compassion for one another and realize that nobody's life is really that easy, this is a very challenging world to be part of, then it makes it much easier to reach out to other people and connect.
Yeah.
And that's the function of art.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Communication. I would agree with that. And it's also the theme of It's a Question of Balance is whether we have more in common than divides us. And we're exploring that through thought-provoking conversations with artists and also ordinary people on the street on different topics. So that's a good thing to have brought up, because I think that is something that's very important in the world today. Because if you just look at what the media is presenting, it seems like we're all so divided. And yet, in reality, there's this human thread, isn't there, that we all have. And if we can sort of focus on that instead, then that's where real healing lies. Yeah. Well, thank you so much to all of you for coming on. I'm really looking forward to seeing Fire in the Heart in its iteration at Cabrillo College in California. And as it moves across the country, other listeners are going to be able to experience it as well. So I'm assuming all rehearsals and everything are going well, are they, Deborah?
It's beautiful. And I have to give Cabrillo a big shout out, because they are just bending in all sorts of pretzely shapes. You know, we come in one day. Go into tech, go into rehearsal, and go up that night. And they are just really putting enormous, wonderful crew behind us.
Yeah. Well, you've assembled some amazing artists, and I'm grateful to have had some of them on the show today. So thank you, all of you, for coming and sharing your individual arts. Brittany.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Tom, thank you, Ruth.
Gina as well, who was calling in from LA, so really appreciate that. And remember, you can go to the website and hear this podcast afterwards. So if you've enjoyed the show, do tell your friends about it, and then they can go and check out Fire in the Heart as well. And just want to remind you that you can link with the show through social media. If you go to itsaquestionofbalance.com, you can link through LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and you can also see lots of information about previous guests, topics that we've done, and hear all the podcasts. And just to remind you, if you're in California, that Fire in the Heart is going to be at Cabrillo College for the 2016 Evening World of Theatre presentation. Thanks for listening, and join me again next week.